Greetings in the name of Christ this morning. It's also glad to be here with you. And I would also like to say on behalf of our congregation, thank you for the invitation today. This has been anticipated, and I'm sure it will be beneficial to us very much. We appreciate this. Just one announcement I'll share before we go into the message in relation to our congregation, as well as an invitation to you as a congregation here. Our revivals will be starting this week on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock each evening, and going from Wednesday through Sunday, and Brother Edwin Bontrager is planning to be with us, Lord willing, for that. So that will be starting on Wednesday evening of this week. You think about Thanksgiving, and it's such a, you know, it's a word we use, it's a concept we have, all of us have in our minds, and I'm not sure, you know, I can't define your concept, and you probably can't fully define my concept, but you think about Thanksgiving, and then you think about, you know, sharing a message on Thanksgiving, and I guess there's a part of me that feels that, do we really understand it? And I don't profess to understand it this morning. It's something that we think about, we use these terms, and we think about especially at a certain time of the year, which is all right, but what does Thanksgiving really mean to us as a Christian? How does it affect our lives, and how does God view this? How does God feel about Thanksgiving? Those are just some of the questions that were going through my mind and preparing for this message and to again, try to understand, you know, the mind of God and the will of God and His purposes in our lives. I'd like to take you, first of all, to Psalm 100. This is going to be a more of a topical message this morning. We're not going to stay with any one scripture, but we're pulling different scriptures in to guide our thoughts. Psalm 100, this is a very familiar psalm. We could probably, most of us could probably say this by memory. Maybe we learned it in school or after school, or we may know it, but it is very familiar. But I was just encouraged again by reading over this psalm. And again, it's familiar, and we've done this many times probably over the years, but there's just something very exuberant about this psalm in relation to Thanksgiving. And I'd like to think about that as the starting point of this message. I'd like to think this morning about what Thanksgiving means to us as a Christian in our lives. Now, Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. How good does it get? When you think about the goodness of God in relation to our lives here on earth, when you concentrate on the thoughts that are shared here in this psalm, it's just something that just bubbles over, it seems like, in the heart of the psalmist here, in thinking of the goodness of God and the provision of God and the greatness of God and the call to us to enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. The Lord is good. And I would say this morning that that simple statement is probably the foundation, or we could say the provision for us, for our ability to be thankful. God is good. Do we always understand his goodness? No. Does it take faith to believe in the goodness of God? Yes. Sometimes more than at other times. But to believe in our hearts, and to firmly hold this truth that God is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth through all generations. There's something so solid about that truth, that we can rest in that. His mercy is everlasting. It's not going to run out. And his truth endureth. It's going to stand. We can trust in it. Now, our thanksgiving must be more than an annual observance. And this is very basic, and we understand this, we know this. The psalmist said in Psalm 116 and verse 12, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me?" It's a question, and he went on to answer that question. "I will take a cup of salvation, will call upon the name of the Lord, fulfill my vows, make sacrifice." But you know, that is a question that I think each of us needs to answer in our own hearts. You know, what shall I, individually, personally, render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? And I think that that thought is also foundational in relation to understanding thanksgiving and how thankfulness affects our life, our heart as a Christian. Thankfulness or thanksgiving is not always, I don't think, given the prominent place as it should be in our lives. I think we all understand this. You know, there's a tendency, and at least if you're like I am, there's a tendency to somehow think that thankfulness is sort of one of the accessories that we, or maybe optional accessories that we can sort of have as a Christian. We know the Bible talks about it and commands it, but we can have a tendency to view it a bit as an accessory to Christian living. At least that's how sometimes I think about it in my heart. You know, it's sort of like, you know, it's like graciousness, or, you know, you really should say thank you at the right time. You really should say please, you know, but, you know, not everybody does, but, you know, it's good to do that. Is that really how God views thankfulness in the life of the Christian? Is it just one of those things that is maybe, hopefully we grow into at some point in our Christian experience, we become more thankful? Now, it is true that we need to grow into more thankfulness, you know, as God shows us that. I'm not saying that would not happen in any of our lives, but how do we view it? You know, maybe part of this is because, you know, as humans, you know, we are not thankful by nature. You know, we were not born into the world as a thankful person. A little child born into the world is not born into the world as a thankful person. And you think about this in relation to selfishness and all that is a part of a child's early survival. You know, basically in their minds, an undisciplined, untrained child, especially in a young age, in innocence, you know, in their minds, the world revolves around them. When they're hungry, they let you know. When they're uncomfortable, they let you know. When they're sick, they let you know. You know, and they expect you to do something about it. Well, we understand that's how God made them, and we are responsible to take care of them. But it just illustrates, again, you know, that we are born thinking that the world revolves around us. You know, and there's a sense in which I think thankfulness then needs to be learned. It needs to be taught. And then, of course, as a child grows older, they understand then that there's also the aspect of accountability. You know, we sang that one song this morning about thanking, you know, parents for food and clothes. You know, that's the growing understanding of the need for thankfulness because, you know, and we do that in our homes, maybe around the table. We sometimes need to give the children a lesson that if they don't really like something that's on the table, that's just to remember how many children in the world do not have, you know, enough to eat. They would be very glad to have that plate full. You know, it's part of teaching the concept of thankfulness. And then, of course, as they grow older in the age of accountability and to understand something of their accountability to God and to understand the goodness of God, the provision of God, we teach children how to pray. We teach them, you know, the concept of God blessing and answering prayer, and all that is a foundation for thankfulness and understanding thankfulness. We teach them to pray before we eat our food, again, as a part of teaching them thankfulness. But all that is a part of growing and understanding that the world does not revolve around them and it doesn't revolve around me. And so we understand that. So now, what is thankfulness or thanksgiving? You know, it's like we talked about, it's not just singing certain songs. It's not just a certain season of the year. It's not only saying thank you when it's expected. It's not only just an emotional feeling when things are going well, you know, and the bills are paid and, you know, we have enough and the harvest was good. And sometimes thankfulness or Thanksgiving revolves around those things, which does involve thankfulness. But can we be thankful, like Paul said there in Thessalonians, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know, the test of our thanksgiving is not when things are going well for us. The test of our thanksgiving is when we have to think a little bit about maybe what we're thankful for. You know what I'm saying? And to understand that the fact that it may not seem like things are so good right now, in whatever situation it is, does our thanksgiving evaporate, or are we still responsible to have a thankful heart to God? And so these things that we talked about, whether it's the singing of songs or certain observances of certain parts of the year, you know, that those can be a part of thanksgiving. But I think what we really need to understand this morning again in our minds is, you know, that thankfulness really is a way of life. It's an attitude that really affects every aspect of our life. And it's actually 365 days of the year, not just one. You know, it's important for us to understand that it is really foundational, because it relates to our understanding of ourselves and how we see ourselves, and our understanding of God and how we view God. And that will come out as we go through this message. And so it is a way of life. It is an attitude. It is a mindset. And at times we need to be reminded again of the need for thankfulness in our lives. Again, another illustration of why this is important is because you with me probably know how it is in prayer life at times to suddenly have sort of this a surprise when you think back or you contemplate a little bit about the content of our prayers, and you realize that, you know, there's just that tendency that I've been having of asking God for this and asking Him for that. But how often do I thank Him for what He has done? You know what I mean? We just have that tendency, I think, all of us, it kind of goes downhill. And sometimes we have to stop and get this thing arrested a bit and get it back where it ought to be, and to realize that, you know, our prayers to God must include, I think, a vast amount of thankfulness. Else, we can really become rather selfish in our prayers. You know, it's asking for this and that and the other thing. But how often are we actually thanking God? Genuinely thanking God. Not just the nice phrases that we can put together in prayer, but genuinely thanking God for His goodness and His blessing and His help. That is a part of real worship. True thankfulness is a result of close communion with God. I think that the closer our relationship is with God in worship, in meditation, in contemplation of truth, the deeper our thanksgiving will be. I think it's directly related. And so you could also turn it around the other way and say that we allow our spiritual relationship with God to cool off and to allow some distance and to become more involved in our own things. Our thankfulness has gone downhill. We've lost it, at least in part, and we will be less thankful because of that. Well, there's also, I think, related to this is that the tendency at times, at least some struggle maybe with this more than others, but the tendency then in a relationship that is not as close with God as it ought to be, then to sort of view life through a very negative screen, through a very negative viewpoint. You know, then we have the tendency to see the unfinished work instead of what has been accomplished. There may be the tendency to think about all the negative or bad things that could happen or, you know, maybe would come upon us, rather than to see the God who has kept us safe and has blessed us so many times over the years. And so there can be the focus on the trials and the hardships of life rather than focusing on the victories of life and what way God has blessed us. So again, it's just a way to help us to measure ourselves in our own minds and hearts of whether we are actually thankful as we ought to be. Now, another principle that we see, I think, that is in relation to true thanksgiving, and that is not dependent upon outward circumstances. We talked a little bit about this, you know, but the fact is, regardless of what happens in our lives, that God is good. God is good. And there's always, I think, in that, that means there's always something to be thankful for. You can never get to the place in our lives where you say, well, I just don't know what to be thankful for. You know, the fact is, in relation to the blessings that God gives to us and the person of God himself, and that revelation to us in truth, the fact is that God is good. We would have examples in the scripture that we could turn to. In Acts 16 there, where Paul and Silas were so badly beaten, their backs probably shredded to ribbons and bloodied, and they were there locked in the stocks there in the city, in the jail in Philippi, and stretched out probably hands and feet both in the stocks on those that cold probably stone floor. They're, like I said, their backs probably beaten to pulp. And it says they prayed and sang praises to God. They prayed and sang praises to God. I can't identify with that. But it wasn't the first time that they prayed and sang praises to God in difficult situations. I'm sure of that. But it was a result of a relationship with God that they had there. Philippians 4 and verse 11 there, Paul said, I have learned. Remember that word there, learned. Thanksgiving is, thankfulness is learned. But I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. That concept there of contentment is closely related to the concept of thankfulness. And so now we can think about this a little bit further and say that, it would it be true that the test of a thankful heart is how we feel when maybe God says no, or when God changes our circumstances or our plans, when things would not be after our choosing? Would that be the test of a thankful heart? You know, when the future looks impossible, when we feel that we are in suffering, when we feel that we really have, you know, there's not a lot of hope we could say in relation to this life. You know, when God says no, when things are not after our choosing, I think that's when we face the test of a thankful heart. Maybe that's why the psalmist or the proverb writer in Proverbs 30 and verses 8 and 9 says, remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. That's an interesting thought there of a prayer that says, please don't give me poverty nor riches. Well, we can probably pray, okay, I'd rather not have poverty. But how many times do you pray, Lord, please don't give me riches? You know, the concept there is that if I just have enough. You know, that there's a thankfulness there in relation to the future that's good for us to contemplate. Now, what about this, further now, this thought of thankfulness versus unthankfulness? I'd like to think for a little bit about the way of unthankfulness. Just to contrast this, I know we've referred to this a few times, but turn with me to Romans 1. Romans 1 and verse 18. I would like to look here and see what the scripture says. How the scripture characterizes unthankfulness. Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. In other words, he's saying that all mankind has an accountability to a divine creator, even if it's just the basic thought of creation and the witness of creation itself. The invisible things, verse 20, of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Creation itself speaks of a divine creator. And then we notice what happens by those who turn away from this and reject this witness of God. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools, and they change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And so there we have this thought in relation to unthankfulness was a part of man's decline away from God. And it always is. Neither were thankful. So when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, giving God the prominent place of allegiance and glory and worship in their life. And with that, they became unthankful. It affected not only their view of themselves, which you go further down, is directly affected, but also their view of God. What kind of a God did they end up with when they became unthankful? Gods that were made like four-footed beasts and all kinds of creeping things. That's what they started to worship. And one of the reasons is they became unthankful. Now, Israel also is an example of this. Israel is an example of a people that were very unthankful at times in their lives. We could turn to Psalm 78 and read that psalm. It's a psalm that clearly shows the mercy and the graciousness and the providential care of a heavenly Father over his people. It talks about how that God provided for them and he led them and he took care of them and he blessed them. And then over and over they would turn their back on him and they would rebel and they would limit the Holy One of Israel. And then he would judge them and then they would come back and he would bless them again. And it just shows again the path of unthankfulness. Israel was in bondage in Egypt, and they cried to him, you know, and God brought them out. We have that in Exodus 14, and he brought them through the Red Sea. But then you get to Exodus 16, and already they were murmuring because they needed bread to eat. And so they were complaining. They were, as it were, unthankful. And then you have Numbers 14 also. It shows there where they were at the entrance of entering into Canaan, and they ran across those giants there. And because of that, they refused to go in. They were afraid. They wanted to turn back to Egypt. You have Numbers 20. There they were murmuring and complaining because they had no water. And God blessed them with water. You have Numbers 21. They were complaining about the manna. And they were tired of the manna. And God sent them fiery serpents. And then he also sent them quail. And you just think about the life of Israel. And what unthankfulness cost them as a nation. And it shows, again, the natural tendency that is within our bosom as well, in our own hearts, to also tend toward unthankfulness as it relates to the blessings of God to us. And so unthankfulness causes one to forget the giver. You know, when you think about, in our minds, reading that account there, especially like whether it's in Numbers or and the story is it was recorded there in Psalm 78. And we think about, well, if we had manna falling down every morning, wouldn't that be something? If you stood in front of the Red Sea and an Egyptian army was behind you, you know, and it felt rather hopeless. And then the waters parted and they went through on dry ground. We say, well, how could you ever doubt the goodness of God? You had no water. The cattle are lowing and calling for water. The children are thirsty. Moses said to God that we have no water. God said, smite the rock. Water came out. They all had fresh, cold water. We'd say, well, how could you ever doubt the goodness of God? And you could go on and on with those stories. We read them. We say, well, how could Israel be so unbelieving in the face of such blessing from their God? But how many times do you and I need to hang our heads in shame? We think about what God has done for us and blessed us. And maybe we can't look back very far upon our life. Maybe all those little stories of our life are not written down that we can actually read them. Maybe they should be sometimes. Maybe we should just do that and keep track of that. Not our own accomplishments, but what God has done in blessing us, and to worship him because of that. We really are not a lot different in heart than Israel at times. So we can forget the giver. It can produce a resentment towards the giver, toward God, for what we don't have. And there's a tendency for mankind to blame God for all the troubles in the world. You talk to someone who doesn't believe in God, or maybe is an atheist or an agnostic, and they say, well, if God is such a loving, kind God, why is the world in such sad shape? You blame God for it when man has brought it on themselves. It makes one feel that we deserve more than we have, or makes us feel in debt to no one. You know, there's that that assumption that we can develop, mankind can develop it in their own hearts. You know, that, you know, my parents owe me this, or their society owes me a job, and it even owes me a good paying job. And, you know, the sense of entitlement that we see all around us can rub off on us. What does God owe us? What do we deserve? See, we can kind of blame God. You think about ones there in judgment who knocked and wanted entrance, and Christ says, I never knew you. Depart from me. And they said, but we taught in your streets. We did all these things. We were good. I mean, we served you. Have you ever thought about this sense of entitlement? You know, that was in their hearts. They said, well, because we did all these things, we should have entrance. Compare that to the ones who gained entrance. They said, well, didn't realize we were doing that. Wasn't that the genuine expression of a thankful heart? They weren't keeping track, as it were, of what they had accomplished, but they were just out to serve their God in faithfulness and sincerity, and God honored that. It can also cause a self-indulgent attitude. It can be very assuming. We talked about that. It can also blind us to the needs of others. You know, a thankful person is a person also that is a giving person. And unthankfulness causes us to be stingy and selfish with the blessings that God has given to us. Unthankfulness can also bring a serious spiritual loss. It can cause friction between people and covetousness and attitudes. Unthankfulness can be the result, or is the result, of pride and selfishness, and relates to covetousness and the struggle with maybe covetous thinking and envy and jealousy. It also can cause us to view possessions and blessings wrong. Whether God has blessed us and there is some prosperity, you know, where did it come from? Well, you know, I worked hard for it. Or I managed well. Oh. See, unthankfulness would say that. Thankfulness gives the glory to God. Also, unthankfulness ends up in faithlessness, you know, and not appreciating and understanding the blessings of God to us. Well, that's the negative note. Now, what's the positive? What's the blessings of a thankful heart? Well, one of the blessings of a thankful heart is that it helps us to appreciate God as the giver. We think about the, you know, what he has given, and also to be thankful at times for what he has withheld. Have you ever been thankful that God did not answer some prayers in your life? Maybe it took us a while to understand that, and then later we look back and say, well, thank you, Lord. But to appreciate God as the giver, and God is sovereign, God in his providential care over us. I'm thankful that God does not always answer some of our prayers because we didn't pray in faith as we should have, and we didn't even know what was good for us, but God knew better. And we can appreciate that. It also strengthens one's closeness with God. And if all of us here this morning, I'm sure all of us can say that, you know, we could do more to, would like to do more to deepen our worship and our relationship with God. And I really think that thankfulness is a important part of this. Again, to contemplate the goodness of God and the blessing of God in our lives personally. And maybe just to name some of those things and to thank God for some of those things, even though, you know, it may seem so trivial, yet it is a part of his blessing upon his people. And that can strengthen our closeness to him. It can build on our relationship with him as we see more of our God involved in the daily experiences of life. In the men's class in Sunday school, we talked about this thing of, you know, her hap was to light upon one of the fields of Boaz. You know, to simply understand the providential leading of God in the small areas of life. That's part of thankfulness. Also, this aspect of a thankful heart views the gifts of God in light of our undeserving selves and produces a sense of humility. We are undeserving of the least of God's blessings. We've sinned against him. We've denied him at times. We've failed him at times. God has shown us mercy and given us repentance. And through that, he's promised that we can have a relationship with him. We can grow in that relationship. And he promised to lead us all the way through our lives if we just keep committing ourselves to him. And we can go through life in serving him. And then he's promised us heaven. You know, and he's promised that, you know, he's going to crown the saints. What all that means, I don't know, but the picture is there. Of reward and blessing and crowning the saints for faithfulness. If that's not one of the most humiliating things, I don't understand it. Maybe you don't need humility in heaven, I don't know. But you just think about this, that God who leads us providentially through our lives and helps us at every point of the way and forgives our failures and can help us back on track with him. And then we get to the end of life. And then he gives us a crown or blessing for faithfulness. When it was he, the one, who took us by the hand and led us all the way through life and got us there. Then it's no wonder that the saints take those crowns and they put them at his feet. They lay them at his feet. And they say, thou alone art worthy to receive glory and honor. What do we deserve? Also, I think another part of thankfulness is that it creates within our hearts a sense of good stewardship for what God has blessed us and given us. We are just stewards of it. It all belongs to him. The psalmist there said, you know, the cattle on a thousand hills are His? What can we give Him that He doesn't already own? It all belongs to Him. It's given to us as in stewardship. And thankfulness helps us to understand that in our lives and to be make careful use as good stewards. But also right with that, it gives us a desire to share with others as well, to be a giving people. It also produces a strong faith and trust and hope in God. And you realize God is so good and we can trust Him for the future. Do we understand what will happen tomorrow? No. Are we called to be thankful tomorrow? Yes. How can you be thankful tomorrow if you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow? It's part of faith, isn't it? Faith in the goodness of God. Faith and trust. Also, thankfulness helps us to be objective in our spiritual walk. Already referred to 1 Thessalonians 5:18, where Paul there writes and says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." God wants us to be thankful in everything. Is it always easy? No. Do we have to understand it? No. Do we have to loudly express it? Probably not. That could be fake. But in our hearts, we must be thankful and believe in the goodness of God. In closing, I'd like to go to Hebrews 13. I just mentioned about that thankfulness helps us to be objective in our spiritual walk. Just look at this scripture. Hebrews 13 and verse 14. "For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come." Now, doesn't that concept, that verse, that truth there really help us to understand the perplexities of life? And it sort of keeps the whole thing of life in proper perspective. We get so caught up in all the things and happenings and plans. But the fact is, here, we have no continuing city. Just keep that in mind in relation to life. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. And whether we're here as young people, middle-aged, older, whatever our standing, our state in life is, to keep this concept clear, we have no continuing city here. This is temporary. We seek one to come. "By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." Because we have no continuing city here, we're seeking one to come that is a platform, that is the basis that we can continually worship and praise God and be thankful because we don't have to stay here. God is something better. How can we be more thankful? We can exercise ourselves in this relation to our understanding of God, drawing closer to God, understanding the importance of humility in our lives. Understand who we really are in light of the provision, the greatness of God to us. You know, in relation to ourselves and my expectations of life. We can increase our faith and our trust and our hope in God. All those things are part of us deepening this thanksgiving that God wants us to have in our hearts. I'd just like to close with a poem that I think clearly illustrates to us this concept of indebtedness to God, not the assuming attitude that God owes us, but rather the sense of debt to Him. The title of it is, "Oh, How Much We Owe." When this passing world is done, when has sunk yon glorious sun, when we stand with Christ in glory, looking o'er life's finished story, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. When I stand before the throne, dressed in beauty not my own, when I see thee as thou art, love thee with unsinning heart, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. E'en on earth as through a glass, darkly let thy glory pass. Make forgiveness feel so sweet, make thy spirit's help so meet. E'en on earth, Lord, make me know something of how much I owe. Chosen not for good in me, wakened up from wrath to flee, hidden in the Savior's side, by the Spirit sanctified, teach me, Lord, on earth to show by my love how much I owe. Let's kneel to pray.